Tonight they're talking about regeneration. That's the basis of the idea behind this little cross, this Maltese cross. Regeneration is something that a lot of people are really interested in having. When you come out of the medical field, the health field, you hear about all these attempts to regenerate human body parts, and they're trying to do that. They're trying to take human cells and actually form them into organs. They think someday they'll be able to do that and create whole new hearts and other organs and be able to transplant those into the people by using their own cells so you don't have the transplant issues. They think there's going to be a time when they'll be able to regenerate nerves. So if you have a spinal injury, you'll be able to get up and walk again someday. And they even think that they can probably regenerate limbs too. Some of the things that they believe they can do, what people can do. And all of this is being done in order to lengthen our lives, to make it longer, to make it better. We love to be regenerated. There was an old, I think it was a Twilight Zone, where a young, an older couple went in to get this whole regenerated new body. That's the goal of people in many cases. We want to go back and have what we once had so it's young again, new again, better than it was before. Sadly, though, even though we are regenerated and sometimes reborn with new organs placed in us, we still have that one big problem staring us in the face. We're still going to die. There's another kind of regeneration. That's the kind we hear about when somebody's been in prison for a few years. And they really are rehabilitated. Now their life is a whole lot better than what it was before. Now they have improved their life. They're no longer a criminal. They're no longer living the way they used to. And they actually get out and they live a whole new life. I can't remember the fellow's name, but it wasn't too long ago. Because of this new law, you can get out of jail a little bit earlier in life based on certain things that you're doing or not doing. This fellow got out in the prison. He had become Christian. He had gone out and he started teaching Bible classes in prison. Now he's out in the world and he's doing the same thing and trying to improve other people's lives, the same things that he went through. He's a whole regenerated man now. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have? To be able to be different, to be reborn in your life. Again, something that we desperately want in our lives, to be reborn. The scriptures tell us about people who were regenerated or reborn. One we know very well, his name's Paul. Before he was Paul, though, remember, he was named Saul. And in the book of Acts, it tells us this. The witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul as they were stoning Stephen, and Saul approved of his execution. Later on, there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. Can you imagine? There's what Saul's doing. He's knocking on your door, beating it down, and he's going in and grabbing people out. Why? Because they believed in Jesus as their Savior. And they weren't believing the salvation by works that he was at one time preaching himself. Paul was regenerated on the road to Damascus. Remember that story. He's riding to Damascus in order to arrest more Christians. And what does Jesus come and do? Knocks him right off his horse. Literally, on the ground, blinded by Jesus. And he says, Jesus himself comes to him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do. And then later on, he got into Damascus, and there he met a man named Ananias. And Ananias came to him and told him that Jesus had spoken to him to receive Paul into his household. And immediately, it says in Acts, something like scales fell from Paul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. And we know the rest of the story. He went on to be the apostle to the Gentiles, writing a number of books in the New Testament. And there was another one, another regenerated person in the Bible. This one we don't think about as often. But his name was James. But it's not the apostle James, not the brother of John. This was the brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus. He too was not a believer initially. If you look back in the Gospels of Mark, it says this, when Jesus went home, back to his home where they were in Nazareth, and the crowds gathered again so that they could not even eat, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he, Jesus, is out of his mind. The brothers and the sisters didn't think Jesus was important. He was actually crazy, and they wanted to get him away from everybody. And that was his brother. But something happened even to James to change his mind, to change his heart. Because James would become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He would even write a book of James. Both of these men, Peter and James, were changed by Jesus himself. Jesus comes and knocks Paul off his horse, and from what we hear in Corinthians, Jesus came to James after his resurrection from the dead. And that's what changed him. That's what made his heart melt, that heart of stone. And he became a regenerated man, a regenerated person who was now a follower, a believer in Jesus as his Savior. Tonight's cross that we're talking about is called the Maltese cross. I wanted to do a little research on it. And I found out that this cross was created by the Knights of St. John. It's a religious order that started in the Middle Ages. They were a group of, they call them the Hospitallers or something like that. They were the hospital guys. These were the guys who would go to the Middle East during the Middle Ages. And they would protect and heal and take care of pilgrims who went to the Holy Land. And remember, in those days, it was under the rule of the Muslims. So if a Christian would go there, they would want to be in a pilgrimage to see the city of Jerusalem, and they would get injured or sick, they'd go to these guys and they'd take care of them. After a time, these Knights of St. John also became sort of a military arm, and they helped defeat the Muslims in Jerusalem and win back that area. But again, as we know in history, the Muslims conquered it again, and these guys ended up on a city on the island of Malta, hence the name, the Maltese Cross. And you notice it's got 8 sides. I saw another picture of it. It's even more indented on the tops and the sides and the bottom, so it goes up and back in. So you get a real obvious 8 points to it. And the Knights of St. John regarded those 8 points as a reminder of the 8 blessings of a regenerated person. Hence the idea, this is a cross that reminds us of being regenerated or reborn. And those 8 blessings that they called it are to live in truth, to have faith, to repent one's sins, to give proof of humility, love justice, be merciful, be sincere and wholehearted, and to endure persecution. Sounds a lot like those Beatitudes we just heard too. Regeneration to the Knights of St. John was living a life like this, living a life like the Beatitudes say. Blessed are you when you are hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are you when you're merciful. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. That's what the regenerated person is called to be like. Because the unregenerated person is something other than that. The unregenerated person is the kind of person that we see in the world all the time. First and foremost, I'm most important. I just met our confirmation kids on Monday for the first time. And one of the things I wanted to get across to them is, well, what's sin all about? Sin is really, I'm just circled in on myself. There's a Crossways class, and the little idea for sin is a little person standing there with their hands on their hips and a big arrow that goes out from their head and comes right back to them, because that's all they think about. It's me, myself, and I. I'm God. That's not God. I'm God. You guys work for me. You guys worship me. That's what sin does. We tell God to take a hike because we don't need him. And where does that leave us? That leaves us dead in our sins and trespasses. And with that as our life, all we have facing us is eternal condemnation, eternal death. Because we don't want to be with God now, God says, fine, you don't have to be with me in eternity either. That's where Saul and James were headed. That's where we were headed too. But something wonderful happened on the way to Damascus for us too. We had someone do something for us. Someone named our Lord Jesus. He didn't hang on a cross that looked like this, but he did hang on a cross that probably more looks like that one. And as he hung on that cross, nailed to it, with nails in his wrists, in his feet, with the whip marks gnawing at his back, with the crown of thorns smashed into his head, he was bleeding. And that blood was poured out to cover us, to take away our sins, to be a sign to God that the punishment for sin is paid for. And then when Jesus died, as John tells us, to make sure he was dead, the Romans stuck a spear, probably somewhere in this part of his chest, to hit the heart to make sure he was dead. And what does he tell us? Blood and water came out. And the church fathers also take up that idea. And we still to this day take that idea up, blood and water. And that water reminds us of our baptism. We are washed in Jesus' blood, in his death. We are buried in his death and resurrection, and raised in his resurrection. That's why when you came into this place as a child or into wherever place you went to, Jesus poured out his blood and water onto you in baptism. That's another interesting thing about this Maltese cross. Again, it has eight sides to it, eight points. And it's a reminder of regeneration, but also of your baptism. Because eight is that number that takes us to that regeneration in baptism. I think I mentioned this in one of these last couple of weeks. A baptismal font oftentimes is going to be eight-sided. Because eight is the number of recreation. Jesus came into Jerusalem on a Sunday. He dies on Friday. He rests on Saturday, the Sabbath, and he's raised on the next day, the eighth day. New creation, new life. And that's what happens when we were baptized. You became a new creation. You became something different than what you were just a moment before. A moment before, you are part of the darkness of death and sin. You were on the road to damnation. But when you're baptized, God has said, you are mine now. You've been regenerated. You've been reborn. And your life is different from that point on. But it's more than just that baptism that we remember. It's the fact that baptism also points us to the fact that each and every day we have the freedom, the opportunity, the right to go to Jesus even when we have failed today, and say, Lord, forgive me. Repent when you repent. And he says, I forgive you. That's what Martin Luther tells us in his catechism. We can go and be forgiven day after day after day, regenerated day after day after day. When we are repenting, we are killing that old Adam. And when we are remembering our baptism and being forgiven, we are raising that new Adam to life again, the new man to life. Regeneration is something you already have. You've already been reborn into this life of Jesus. You already have the opportunity to live out those blessings that those Knights of St. John talk about. You've been regenerated and you're a child of God, and now you can live the way that the Holy Spirit calls you into living. The regenerated person recognizes that one can live a repentant life and lives a repentant life all the time, acknowledging that they are a sinner, contrite over their sins, and yet being confident that the forgiveness of sins is already there. It's already purchased for Jesus when he hung on that cross and bled and died for you. The regenerated person also can live humbly as a servant, knowing that because he is a forgiven child of God, they can be a servant now, not worried about themselves, but rather looking at the feet of their neighbor, looking at the feet of the person in need and caring for them. That's what the regenerated person of Christ does. That's what Paul did as he went throughout his Gentile neighbors and his missions that he would do. He would go and serve everybody and anybody he could come up in contact with. As reborn people, we love the justice of what is doing right and godly, even if we have to suffer for that. And showing mercy to everyone in need is the life of a regenerated, reborn person. Even showing love and mercy to our enemies. And doing it with sincerity. Not trying to make ourselves look good, but just knowing that this is what our Lord did for us and we can do for others because of what Jesus has already given to us in his death and resurrection. This is what the cross of Christ has done for you. And when you take this little cross home now and affix it to your big crosses, keep in mind the 8 points. The 8 points of the blessings that those St. John's knights had. But more importantly, tonight, take home the idea and the remembrance of your baptism. This is who you are, a baptized child of Christ. One of the things I always liked doing when I was a pastor up in my congregations in Shawnee is I never celebrated people's birthdays, and we didn't cheer and clap for them in church. I know some places really like doing that. I always sent out baptismal birthday cards. That's when you were born, you were born to die. But when you're baptized into life. So keep that in mind. That's what this cross means. You are a reborn, regenerated person of God. One purchased by the death and resurrection of our Savior for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.